Climb aboard for adventure. Your traveling companions are fellow fans of Doctor Who. That's right, it's the podcast Discussing Who, exploring the worlds of Doctor Who, past, present, and future. Find out more at discussingwho.com.
The Discussing Network presents Discussing Comics. I am Kyle Jones, and I want to welcome back Ryan Kent. Ryan, how are you?
Doing well, Kyle. How you doing?
I can't complain. It is a Sunday afternoon. I watched Lovecraft Country last night after being recommended that I watch that in a conversation I had on our Discussing Network Facebook group. So have you seen Lovecraft Country?
No, but I've been keeping my eyes on it. How is it?
You know, I will start off by saying it made me feel a little uncomfortable considering the fact I'm a white dude. There was a very racist cops that they kept showing at the very beginning of it. So that kind of made me a little uncomfortable seeing the setback in the 20s. That was interesting. But the story, the characters captivated me from the very beginning. By the end of it, I was eagerly anticipating the next episode.
It's funny you say that about the opening, because about this time last year, another HBO show came out with something happening in the 20s, putting race right at the forefront as well with Watchmen. So it's kind of weird that we're on this part of that cycle again for TV.
So I don't want to give it a spoiler, but I will say that I would be curious to know, based on being in coronavirus for the past 6 months, being socially isolated, I would assume that this was shot before this happened in real life. But the gentleman that lost his life because there were the cop and his son that chased him down for running in the neighborhood, there was a similar scene where the main characters were being ran out of a county because they had to be out of the county by sundown. And you had these cops in a vehicle that were chasing them down. So spoiler kind of right there, but.
Well, it sounds very prescient to today's time.
Yes. Which is sad that that's 100 years ago. What is not 100 years ago is the fact that on yesterday, as of this recording, this is the 23rd, of course, of August. On the 22nd of August, DC had something called, DC being DC Comics, of course, had something online called DC Fandom. So Ryan, initial thoughts, what did you think of having DC Fandom, this online experience?
I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. I wasn't plugged into the experience itself, but I was following kind of the news outlets one would follow all day yesterday, just popping in, seeing stuff they were dropping left and right, and a whole lot of it we're going to get into, but it all looked pretty good to me.
Cool. So what did you think of the concept of continuing on? Do you feel like that they were torched a little bit, for lack of a better word, with the things that happened about a week or so ago with these layoffs at DC?
Well, we still haven't. I mean, we're recording this so close to when those happened, where you're, like you said, like a week ago at this point. We don't really know what the fallout of that's going to be long term. But as far as major stuff going on in the in DC's, you know, movies, gaming, kind of other entertainment world seems to be okay, while the comics world, things do not bode well for where things are going in that regard.
Let's expound on that a little bit. So do you think that with DC and DC and Warner Brothers and the whole idea of this umbrella under HBO Max and this Max Media or whatever they're calling it, do you think this is just a natural progression, the results of coronavirus, or a little bit of both?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think this is a little bit of, you know, AT&T kind of coming in. They're, you know, the corporate overlords. Like when we're talking about, you know, Warner Brothers owns DC, AT&T owns Warner Brothers. And it seems like that's where these decisions are being made that are looking like they could really disrupt the publishing world if things keep going. It was real unfortunate to see how many talented, you know, people working in comics lost their job. And it wasn't just not necessarily creators, but editors, people who work on these books behind the scenes. A lot of people who are responsible for a lot of things going on at DC publications, unfortunately, are no longer employed there. And I wish them well, because it seemed like this was unnecessary and I don't know. I don't have high hopes for what this means, I guess. I'm pessimistic.
All right. So I want to play devil's advocate here for a moment. And let me preface playing devil's advocate by saying I love DC. I think I read DC before I read Marvel. So I am a hands-on, I love DC. So this is so meant with as much love for DC as I possibly right. can. But that being said, if you were to count up in your head the books that you read, Marvel versus DC, which one tips the scale, Marvel or DC?
Marvel. Let me ask you this. Do you mean like if I'm looking at my bookshelf and over the years what I've read or what I'm pulling right now?
What you're pulling right now.
Oh, Marvel quite a bit. Marvel and other. I'm reading Batman at DC. I'm reading Superman. I'm getting a few specials here and there. I'm kind of cherry picking the rest. There's not a whole lot I'm reading at DC right now.
And see, the sad thing is if I ask myself the same question and I look at what I'm reading, I think in our last episode or one of the last episodes that we recorded, I made a reference to, well, from DC, I read Young Justice and I read Wonder mm-hmm. Woman now. Well, Young Justice has been canceled. So
really, I did not know that.
Now I'm down to one. Where I'm going with that is not saying that anything is wrong with the people who were editing and who have lost their job. And again, I hate the fact that they've lost their job, but maybe a new direction might be the best thing for them at this point.
Totally. I'm scared that they're instead of saying going in a new direction, they're going to not go in any direction. Like I'm fearful, and I hope I'm not being just needlessly pessimistic, but 2020 has kind of trained me to do so. I'm worried that they're going to drastically cut down on publishing operations, but I don't know that. That's just reckless speculation. And like I said, it's admittedly very pessimistic.
Right before we get back to the fandom of which we're here to talk about, I want to pose one other thing that I read this weekend that I thought about you, actually. The possibility that this article had laid out was, yes, you would still have paper, but that companies might be shifting to single issues digital, ARCs, trade paperbacks. That
right,
you might
still
not
targeting that.
Yes.
Book market.
Yes. What do you think? Do you think that's where we're going?
If I had to put money on it, and that's what I would think is probably going to happen, I think AT&T looks around and several rungs down the ladder is DC Comics. And if comics aren't as profitable as they should be, they'll find ways to streamline it. I think the digital distribution of weeklies is it's on the horizon, I think. And then, yeah, just going to that. And then you can still go to Barnes & Noble and get The Dark Knight Returns, because I think DC, even more than Marvel, really relies on that book market. And yeah, I think that's where we're going.
Again, play a devil's advocate. Is that necessarily the wrong thing? And, you know, that goes against all the thinking of your local comic shop. Think of it from the perspective of in these 50s, 40s, 50s, et cetera, and up, you know, even though they're still around today, everybody got record players back then. Then you got 8-tracks. Then you got cassette tapes. Then you got DVD players. I mean,
right.
You know, CDs, etc. Is that a natural progression?
Yeah, no, comic books are admittedly, you know, going to the store on Wednesday afternoons and getting very expensive little pamphlets it's very antiquated the way we do it. But I think there's going to be a large section of the comic book buying populace that is going to really, really not react well to being able to get their single issues the way they've gotten them since they've been 5 years old. You know, I think this is just such a thing that's been going on forever. Not being able to hold in my hand Batman issue 110 or whenever this will happen, it'll be sad.
You know, we've talked about in the past, we've talked about the experience that revolves around comic books and, you know, going in and getting the single issues and seeing the people. I want to showcase or mention real quick one of the comic shops here in Jackson, Mississippi, where I live, and it's called Offbeat. And this place does a little bit of got your figurines. They have the vinyl records. They have people that come and hang out there. They have artists that maybe will come and perform at night. They have, of course, the trade paperbacks and a lot of them. But whenever I think about the market moving more into the direction of a trade paperback, I see something like Offbeat and what they're doing, and they're doing it quite well, that they're making a name of their brand. And I love the name Offbeat because it's kind of off the beaten path, literally, of what you would expect a comic book shop to be.
That's so excellent. Yeah, that reminds me of another episode we did a while ago with the I forget what was the name of that documentary we watched, My Comic Book Shop Country.
Bingo.
Where you see there are a lot of those comic shops out there. It sounds like that's a great shop you've got, where they're diversifying the experience and making it a place to be and hang out and socialize. There are comic shops around me that have gaming, like Magic the Gathering. That's not something I'm necessarily interested in, but I'm glad that it's a social experience to go to the shop still. So I love hearing stuff like that.
Yep. And I think that's what the comic shops are going to have to do to survive. If that means bringing their content to more digital avenues, which I think that's the route that it's going, then that's how the stories survive. Because at the end of the day, what we're interested in is, as a fan, we're interested in the content that we're going to wind up getting. So that leads us into a game that you might be interested in talking about. So I'll turn the table over to you for a moment and say, tell us about, is it Batman Gotham Knights?
Yes, Batman Gotham Knights. This might be my favorite announcement from yesterday. I don't know. Are you a gamer in any way, or is this something that's totally for me?
I am, yes, a gamer in a sense of I used to love City of Heroes. I'm a gamer not in the sense of I don't have patience to learn all the combinations, et cetera, and so forth.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm a very, I would say, a limited gamer. I have a gaming console I have for about 10 years now. I loved Batman Arkham Asylum, Batman Arkham City, and I even really like Batman Origins and Knight 2, which people didn't like quite as much. These games really kind of motivated me to get back into gaming after not being in for a couple of years. And ever since Arkham Knight, we've been waiting for the next chapter in these series of games. And even though these don't look to be, it's taking place in the same continuity, I love the idea of taking Batman out of it, and you get to play as four distinct other heroes that are always the people I enjoyed more than Batman when I was reading the comics. You get to Nightwing, Dick Grayson, Barbara Gordon Batgirl, Tim Drake Robin, which I was interested to see. It's not Damian, it's Tim Drake, who I love. And then Jason Todd, the Red Hood. And four distinct playing styles, four distinct storylines and arcs you can play through. Looks like there's going to be, they haven't put a date on it, but 2021 is the release they're targeting.
Keeping on the Batman idea, there was one, and this wasn't on my list, but I want to go ahead and mention it since you were mentioning all of those characters. Did you see the trailer for the animated Batman Death in the Family?
No, I did not. Oh, was it the one that came? I saw the one that came out before Fandom. If they came out with one yesterday, I did not see it.
You know the idea behind Death in the Family in the comics, right? Of what happened,
yes,
with the 900 number.
100%, yes. And then this one, they're doing like a choose your own adventure.
Yes, yes.
What a cool idea. I love that.
Mm. I think that is totally hilarious, because I don't think DC, if I remember correctly, they didn't expect people to actually kill off Robin. You know,
right.
I think it backfired.
Being, right, to get rid of Robin. I don't know if it's true or not, but I think I remember hearing that it was kind of a blowout. People voted almost unanimously to get rid of Jason Todd. People disliked him that much.
But on the flip of that, if I, and I should have, you know, read up on this before I just unsolicitedly, of whatever the word is, decided to talk about it. But I don't think, while there was maybe a blowout, I don't think there were that many people who actually voted, because,
well, that's probably fair too.
I remember being a kid and I was going to vote, and it says in the fine print, my mother says, no, you're not going to call in and vote to have, you know, Batman. That's going to cost whatever the amount was, you know, you're calling a 900 number to get the
charged by the
exactly. So I think it was not that many, but it just, you probably legally had to kill, because that was the winning number. So
Right.
So I still think that's cool. The fact that they're doing it into make your own adventure, I just think that's cool. But
very much so.
I tell you what is really cool is the fact that we can now say, Clarence Brown, welcome back. How are you?
Doing well, guys. How are you all doing?
I can't complain. Can't complain at all. So you joined at the appropriate time. So I will point this question to you. Batman, the trailer, main movie Batman, first one that we got, Clarence Brown, what did you think?
It looks proper awesome, man. It definitely reminded me of the Nolan Batmans a lot. It definitely had that dark vibe to it. There are a few differences in it that I thought were interesting. Of course, you know, they're redoing it, so the suits and stuff all were just different enough to get me intrigued. And there was one real gritty moment in it when Batman's just like going to town on somebody's face. So yeah, I think it's going to be dark, gritty, and hey, that's what Batman should be, right?
All right. Yep. And I have thoughts, but I want to find out, Ryan, what do you think?
I think it looks great. Yeah, no, I kind of agree with what Clarence was saying. It looks very kind of reminiscent, kind of in tone to the Nolan movies, kind of the dark, muted palette, a lot of rain, a lot of darkness, but that's what we come to a Batman movie for. So I'm pumped for it. You're right. When he was just crushing that guy and breaking bones and all kinds of stuff, you get to see that this is going to be a very brutal movie. And have they said if this is going to be rated R? Are they going to do that? Or is this going to be PG-13, just a hard PG-13?
I think rated R. I'm going to assume, but I don't know that.
Either way, it looks pretty gritty. So, yeah, I'm very excited for this movie.
So here's my thought. I was in 89 excited to see Batman because, hey, it's a Batman movie, you know, coming to theaters. I thought that was, you know, awesome. I was excited then. I was excited to see the Joker in The Dark Knight Returns. I thought Heath Ledger did an awesome Joker, and I was anticipated seeing that. The other Batman movies, some of them I have not even seen in theaters. That being said, this one, just something about it, I just am fascinated by it. I am fascinated mostly by the look of Bruce Wayne. This was the first time I've ever seen him being portrayed as something other than the dashing playboy and with the girl on his arms. And, you know, he was very different from what I expected Bruce to be. Do you disagree?
He definitely felt emo, but I think that may just be Robert Pattinson. It's just kind of the characters he plays.
Well, maybe I was just glad he wasn't sparkling. Maybe that was it.
Yeah, true. Yeah, definitely a different look with the, instead of the shaped up hair with the hair kind of hanging more, I don't know, I say emo, but it just looked different. So yeah, I'm interested to see where they go with that because it's definitely feels like it's striking a slightly different tone. As well as I like to look at the Batmobile, I thought that looked more gritty in real world, like something somebody actually make in their basement, possibly. So in their garage, not basement. So yeah, I don't know, man. I'm just liking the vibe I get from it. It definitely got me intrigued. And the only Nolan Batman movie I did not see in theaters was the third one.
Same here.
But I pretty much love all of them though.
Now, I will say the look of Colin Farrell, I did not even recognize him. He looked totally different as the Penguin.
Yeah, it must have been so brief in the trailer that I didn't even notice him.
I saw him, but it was until I looked at it on YouTube and somebody was pointing out his picture. And it was like, wow, you guys made him look different.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I didn't know he was even in this.
See,
it was so brief, but I love Zoe Kravitz. I love that actor and her as Catwoman. That's two thumbs up for me as well. So I'm excited, I guess.
And the guy from Westworld, I cannot remember his name playing, but he's playing Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, Jeffrey.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Bernard from Westworld.
Yes. So here's what I wrote. My note on that is it looks like it's pointing more to a grim and gritty horror-esque version of Batman and less to the superheroic gadgetry of Batman. This is more, using Clarence's world, more real-world type Batman that we're seeing.
I think there's going to be a lot of detective work in this movie, especially that the Riddler is going to be the bad guy. I think there's, you're right. I think it's going to be very kind of grounded and very, a lot of detective Batman kind of stuff going on.
And you know what? It was not in original watch through that I even realized until the second time I watched it, that Riddler was the bad guy. I don't know where I missed that.
I still didn't know. So you guys just told me.
Okay, good. You made me feel better.
I think the trailer we're seeing just, I think the trailer is cut together with like probably three or four scenes. Cause from what I read online afterwards, the shooting's not nearly done. So I think like we're not, there probably wasn't a glimpse of the Riddler in his final, they might not have even shot that yet. I think, COVID has shut down their shoot pretty extensively.
Do we know who's playing the Riddler?
Paul Dano.
Interesting.
I like him. He's a creepy guy.
Yeah. I heard some more news about this, that this is loosely based off year one Batman, but this is the year two of that arc is kind of what they're saying. And they're supposed to be doing a TV show, ironically, around the Gotham Police again. That's supposed to be a prequel to this. I wish I had the source of that, but I read that somewhere.
Isn't that supposed to be on HBO?
I believe so. Yes.
Interesting.
That'll be very interesting. I'd very much watch that show on HBO with a mature audience label.
Yep. I loved Gotham for what it was. I will admit by the fifth or sixth season or whatever the final season was, it had kind of gotten long in the tooth, so to speak. So, yeah, I am excited to see where that goes. So I'm curious to know what you guys think about the next one. And Ryan Kent, I'll start with you this time. Black Adam, what were your thoughts?
Okay. I like The Rock. I like Dwayne Johnson. I like the idea of him being Black Adam. I feel like we've known he was going to be Black Adam for like 10 years now. He's been in talks to do this. I've always heard him attached to this project. But this trailer, it was like a trailer for a trailer. Like it's like a trailer for a project they haven't started yet. It's like, this is going to be a great movie we're going to make, but we don't have any of it done and ready to go. So I'm excited for it. I would be more excited with something a little bit more concrete, I guess.
Okay, Clarence, what say you?
I kind of feel the same way. This is a movie we've been hearing about for the longest, and I don't think they've shot a single frame of the movie. The little teaser we got was all CG. And, you know, with the Rock voiceover, they haven't even started shooting this thing. So with this one, I'm like, I'll see it when I see it. For the most part, honestly, I think I'm more excited about a new Shazam movie than this, although this is, you know, a part of that franchise. So I don't know, man. I was so disappointed
because I was expecting, and I would have been happy if they would have just shown Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, in a Black Adam costume for real, and that's all it was. Yeah. I would have been more happy with that.
I just don't understand the point of this. And I understand, you know, they want to get something out, make everyone excited, but if you don't have anything, you haven't started the movie, I think it just feels kind of silly to do this mock-up that looks like, you know, the cutscene from a bad video game, because it's like it's almost like a motion comic. It's not even like CGI'd. Yeah. it's bad, and I just don't understand what this was supposed to excite me for, because, you know, this movie could come out in 3 years and look completely different. I don't really get what this was.
Well said. But did you guys see, because I did not, so I'm relying on the two of your knowledges, if the, you know, knowledge between the two of you, if you did, the Shazam sequel. Did you guys see that? Because like I said, I did not.
Wait, did they have a trailer for it?
Oh, did they? Did they? I don't know.
I don't think I saw anything.
No.
Oh, okay.
I think the Black Adam is the second one. I think it's going to be like, I don't think it's going to be called Shazam 2. I think they're just going to do Black Adam, but it's going to be,
okay.
I mean, I'm just speculating. I have no idea how that's going to go.
Well, I'm more excited about it then.
Interesting.
I would feel like you have to, I guess, but you know, I don't know. We just saw a Venom movie a few years ago with no Spider-Man. So
they've been touting like the Justice Society is going to be a part of this movie, which makes me think it's going to be less Shazam. If they're introducing all these other characters into this movie, Shazam's going to be in it, but I just don't know how big a part he's going to have in it. So
maybe that sets up the sequel, you know, to that one, and you learn about the character of Teth Adam, you know, who becomes Black Adam, and kind of make him a little more sympathetic, so that when you go fight Shazam, it's not just a repeat of the first one, because Sylvana was the typical bad guy. You know, he was no redeemable qualities. Whereas Black Adam, he was kind of like your anti-hero, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, he's not going to be, with Dwayne Johnson playing him, there's no way they're going to make him just a pure bad guy.
So what you're saying is we're going to have Batman v Superman part two.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
We'll get to that. We will. We'll get to that. But, you know, I don't want it to be like a suicide mission. But speaking of suicide missions, Suicide Squad. And Clarence, I'll let you go first on this one because you made a comment the other day about James Gunn. So I want to hear what you think. Suicide Squad, what we saw, what did you think?
Yeah, with the little, not really a teaser, but they kind of gave a background trailer for what's been going on with the production and how James Gunn is talking about this is the biggest, most exciting project he's ever been on. I'm like, okay, this is the dude who did Guardians 1 and 2. This is the biggest, most exciting project he's been on. You know, when I first saw Guardians, I was just like, this is the best Star Wars movie I've ever seen in my life. You know, just the production value, the CG, it all was just top notch. So for them, for DC to be able to pull him in, albeit amidst some very, I don't think it was the greatest terms of him leaving Marvel and coming here. I think something happened in his life as far as something he's posted in the past or something. I can't even remember. It's been so long ago. But they swooped him up. And, you know, from what I'm seeing so far, I think I'm excited. It looked, from the footage we saw, background footage, it looked gritty and raw. And the fact that he's excited about what he's doing, the guy who gave us these two great movies with Marvel, the fact that he's so excited about it makes me even more excited about it. So I can't wait to see what they do with the franchise.
I just pulled up the list of people that are in this movie, and I was counting while Clarence was talking. There are so far 20 major roles listed for this movie. I'm excited for it. I think James Gunn is a very talented filmmaker, and I enjoyed the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. But I'm just looking at it. I mean, John Cena, Jai Courtney, Joel Kinnaman. It's like all the original cast plus like 10 new people. I'm worried that this is going to be a little bit scatterbrained.
So
I don't know anything about it. That's just something that I'm worried about.
So name me the new people, if you would.
Idris Elba as Bloodsport, John Cena, Peacemaker. And also, I should note that I feel like I'm pretty well versed in comics. I know none of these new people names. Polka Dot Man, King Shark is going to be in it.
Who's playing those characters?
Okay, Polka Dot Man, David Dastmalchain, who I'm not too familiar with. King Shark's going to be mocapped by Steve Aggie. Weasel's going to be mocapped by Sean Gunn. Flula Borg is playing Javelin. I don't know who Javelin is. Nathan Fillion is playing TDK. Peter Capaldi as The Thinker. Pete Davidson as Blackguard.
Yes, I'm loving all these people you're naming.
It's a lot going on in this movie. And I'm very interested to see what this tone is going to be with this many. Like this is like a season of a TV show's worth of characters, and we're trying to get them into a movie. So I hope they can make it work.
So Clarence, you know why I was asking him to name all of the people, right?
Yeah, sure. You just wanted to hear Peter Capaldi.
I wanted to hear Peter Capaldi.
But you might.
Who's Peter Capaldi?
Exactly.
He's the 12th Doctor.
Yeah, oh. but he played that perfectly. He said, "Who is Peter Capaldi?" I said, "Exactly."
Yeah, who? We don't know, Doctor Who. What I've been hearing is that the fact that they have so many characters is going to be a little bit different tone from what we got in the last one, where nobody really, you know, none of the major characters really died, if I remember correctly. And they're saying they're setting this up where a bunch of people are going to actually die in this one, which could be interesting. You know, if they're going to have all these people, somebody's going to have to bite the dust. So I think that'll be cool.
So let me ask you guys this. Is this a sequel or a reimagining?
I don't know. At first, I thought it was going to be a sequel. But when James Gunn was talking, he was speaking to it as if it was something related to war. He may say Vietnam or some
70s.
War. He was. Yeah, in the 70s. So I don't know. I don't know. I think it's going to be I really do, but he kind of threw me off with that statement. So I don't know. It looks like everybody was the right age. So unless they're doing some time traveling thing, I think it's going to be current.
All right.
I'm good with DC doing something a little bit outside the box, though, with all these I like Marvel's kind of on the corner where everything's connected and everything, and DC I like is kind of taking more episodic approaches to these movies. So if it is something that's kind of unique and different and kind of starting over, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I was just to say, I'm okay with that as long as it's good. You know, you don't have to connect it as long as it's good. But we were saying the 70s. Before we get to the one that I'm saving for last, let's go up to the 80s, specifically 1984 for Wonder Woman. And my question to you guys is, well, actually, you know what? I'm the big Wonder Woman fan here. I'll start first with this one.
Yes, you start.
I was more of a fanboy watching their panel that I just accidentally popped in on without just not even knowing, you know, that that's what was going on. And I opened to DC fandom and it's Wonder Woman and I'm looking and I'm like, oh crap. Wow. Here's Wonder Woman and Wonder Woman having a conversation. I think this is the first time I've ever seen Linda Carter and Gal Gadot together on a screen together interacting, even if it was they're not together. They were still on the screen together. That to me was like pure gold. I was, you know, that was awesome. That being said, I don't know if I really learned that much more from watching the trailer than what I already knew, except I'm going to speculate that whatever is going on, I don't think Steve is really back from the dead. I think that people are getting their wishes, hence how Cheetah becomes Cheetah. And I think Diana is going to have wished Steve back from the dead. So that's my take. I like seeing Cheetah. I think that about Steve. So what did you guys think? And Clarence, why don't you go first this time?
Any scene in Themyscira is going to be my favorite. And the fact that this trailer showed a lot of that, that really got me amped. Because I think anytime I see that place on screen, it just looks beautiful. And the whole and the women fighting and all of that looks great. So I want to see more of that, first of all. So seeing that in the trailer really got me amped. I think some of the visuals in the trailer, which we've seen for months now, with her kind of lassoing through the clouds. I thought all of that stuff is riding on thunder. I think all of that has been great. So got a little bit more of that. I'm not so sure about Cheetah. I'm not so sure about the look of Cheetah. You very much got Cat's vibe in on that. So maybe they have some time to fix that before the movie starts, because it really looked, it threw me off. I just said that.
All right. Ryan Kent, what say you?
I found it a little bit surreal, because we were watching a trailer that's showing new material for a movie that should be like almost 2 months old now.
Should be almost out on DVD.
Right. Yeah. We should be like, it should be getting put on a Blu-ray at this point. I'm in the same boat. Like, it really didn't show me anything new besides, you know, really, I feel like this trailer really kind of focused on Cheetah. I'm interested. It feels like they're going to have some scenes where she has powers before she turns into a cat. Which, you know, I'm not real versed in the history of Cheetah, so that'll be interesting. I'm interested to see Maxwell Lord, played by Pedro Pascal. I don't know if you guys watch Game of Thrones, but I he's an actor I really liked from that show. So oh, yeah. Seeing him as the bad guy, I think is going to be pretty interesting. But other than that, yeah, like similar to what Clarence was saying, riding the lightning is about as cool a thing as I've seen. I can't wait to see that on the big screen.
Yeah. You know, I think they're going somewhere in between Golden Age Cheetah and Modern Age Cheetah, because the Golden Age Cheetah was basically sort of like Catwoman. She was a woman who dressed up in a cheetah outfit instead of a cat-ish outfit, or, you know, like a cat. That is the Golden Age. Of course, she turns into the cheetah, an amalgamation of like a rare creature, so to speak, and Modern Age. I'm looking forward to it, but, you know, I'm going to pivot what you guys said, talking about a movie that should be out on Blu-ray or DVD.
Well, no, I was just going to ask real quick before we pivot away, is that, how do you guys feel about them using the 80s for laughs? Because it seems like all of the Trevor moments was using the time period for laughs. And I don't know, I guess it works, but it seems like something has just been done over and over again. There's nothing really new.
It's an easy target. And I hope that's more of just the trailer vibe and not necessarily the vibe of the whole movie.
I saw it more so. Well, let me say this. If they had not have established in the first Wonder Woman movie that it was set in the 1917, to the teens, you know, First World War, I think the reason that they are showing different eras is to showcase the age Diana is without just coming out and saying, look, she looks the same in 2017 or 2020 that she did in 1917 or 1984. I think that's kind of where they're going with that, is playing with the years. And I know the Wonder Woman TV show came out in the 1970s, not the 1980s, but I think it's letting you see Gal Gadot in things that you might would have seen Linda Carter in, and kind of paying a little, you know, respect or a little nod to the TV show era is kind of the way I saw it.
Okay. And I do get that. It just seems like I would rather them just show me the 80s aesthetics than beat me over the head, which, you know, I guess they did that in the Captain Marvel movie too. So I guess it's fine.
And the X-Men First Class. I feel like this, it's kind of a, there's going to be the jokes in there. Even the first Wonder Woman movie had some jokes that, like, at the, I don't know, like the 1920s or whenever it was set, there were some throwaway jokes about those times as well.
Yeah.
Yep. When she was saying, you wear this, how do you fight in this, with the big dress on? Let's pivot back to my TV and DVD and Blu-ray thing. And you were saying, well, it should have been out on DVD. Well, this movie has been out on DVD and Blu-ray for the last several years. Justice League. And I'm dying to ask Clarence, but I'm going to ask Ryan, you first. Just summary thoughts, not detail, but just summary thoughts. What were your initial thoughts of this trailer?
30% eye roll, 30% shrug, 40% intrigue.
Interesting. All right.
But I'll let everyone else voice their opinions first.
Okay. All right. I am very interested to know what Clarence Brown says on that.
I would say 90% intrigue, maybe 10% shrug. But I don't know. I thought it was fantastic. And the fact that, okay, I know we all have our problems with Zack Snyder, but to see that he did have an actual vision for what this should have been and how that got chopped to pieces. And, you know, this is a trailer. Let me just say that. This is a trailer. We could watch the show and it could be total crap. But, man, can that guy cut a trailer? I'll just say that.
Okay.
What about you?
So I'm going to say about 70% intrigue. The other 30%, I'm going to call it anxiety, but not for the reason you probably think. 70% intrigued was because I was really interested in what they showed. Anxiety is, dang, I do not want to be wrong. And I do want to, and there is a part of me, only 30%, that is like, ooh, this looks so good. Please don't make this so that it validates Superman versus Batman. I can't let go of Superman versus Batman.
Yeah, even not taking that into account at all. I mean, just taking it as itself. I think these snippets, and what a freaking choice in song to play on this four-part TV show that was actually brought into existence by the fans yelling out, "We give us the Snyder Cut." And they have this beautiful Hallelujah track on top of these amazing, okay, some of the CG was spotty, but amazing cinematic scenes, Zack Snyder's vision of what this should have been.
Real quick, that Hallelujah, did it register what that was kind of referencing from Zack Snyder's past?
Oh, yeah. I didn't get it, but I saw it on YouTube, so take it away.
And it's from the Watchmen the movie, which is, I don't know, if you ask me on one day, I'll hate it, on the other day, I'll love it. It's a really strange movie, but during the most long and awkward slow motion sex scene I've ever seen in a movie, goes on way too long, way too graphic, is this song. And I couldn't watch this trailer without having that image in my head the entire time of everything going on in the Archie floating ship that time.
Okay. Glad I didn't remember that.
Okay. I do think that there was a lot of gutting that happened to this movie just based on what we saw in the scenes that looked like they were cut.
Even the stuff that wasn't cut, the color palette's different. Like the red sky from the first movie, it looks completely different. Now it looks like they're going back and completely redoing it.
Yeah, I know. I remember when we talked about this on Ron's podcast, we were talking about we read off some of the things about the changes in the Snyder Cut to Josh Whedon's vision of this movie, and like it was said that only 10% of his footage was used. So there's a mass amount of footage that we have never seen about this movie. And I is it going to be good? Who knows? The jury's out, but
it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting. No doubt. No doubt.
And if it is enough to where you can watch and to me, this just freaking fascinates me. If you can say this is Justice League that was in theaters, this is Justice League, the Snyder cut or the whatever cut you want to call it. The fact that you've got the same actors and you can watch those movies back to back and receive a completely different experience from watching them. To me, that in itself is sheer brilliance. And I know that it wasn't intended to be that because of all the things that we just said. But after seeing this trailer, it gave a little bit more credence to Ray Fisher's issues that he's had with Joss Whedon and some of Geoff Johns, et cetera, and so forth, because it looks like the majority of his work got left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, it was like his story is going to be totally different in this. So, you know, for a group of people, well, I can see his point of view from having worked hard on something that he thought, you know, he was going to be very proud of and all of, you know, stuff get cut from movies all the time. So who knows if stuff really would have made it. But yeah, to see all this work that these guys have been putting into it and, you know, someone comes in and I'm not saying what Josh did was bad, but he had to make some decisions to get this thing out there, you know. And he
right, and it really changed the tone of the movie.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, you've got the black suit Superman and I know a lot of this, and I know I'm bouncing here, but a lot of this I think was fan service in a sense of you're wanting us to see some of the things that we dislike the most, and I thought that. When they showed the scene in the cornfield, I'm like, oh, okay, you're saying, hey, he really wasn't supposed to have the fake mustache covered over. This is the real scene here.
Yeah.
I want to know, do you guys have any other DC fandom comments or thoughts or topics? Because I have gone through my entire list. So do either of you have any other topics that you wanted to cover?
Real quick, I'll mention the video game portion. There was another Arkham game. Well, actually two Arkham games announced.
The Gotham Knights.
Yeah, the Gotham Knights announcement, which looks pretty fantastic because it's not all of the Arkham games up to this point have pretty much been focusing on Batman. I mean, you did have some Catwoman, I think, in Arkham City, but this one is going to be focusing on all of his proteges. So I would definitely say go check out the trailer because you could see all of his younglings, I'll call them, swoop into action as this is in the trailer. So this isn't a spoiler, but he says, if you're seeing this message, I'm dead. And they swoop into action and all of that looked real, as well as they announced a Suicide Squad game, which is from the same development group, Rocksteady, which does the Arkham games. So I guess it's in the same family. And it's called Suicide Squad Kill the Justice. And they released, this is slated for 2022, but they did release a cinematic of what it may look like when it comes out. So I thought all that was pretty interesting and fun.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I will say, and this is so not DC, but by looking and seeing and watching play of the beta of the Avengers game, it actually looks pretty darn good. So, all right. Well, Ryan, do you have anything else?
Nope, I'm good.
Well, in closing, you know, I'm not going to ask where else can you be found on the internet this time. I'm going to ask instead something that you are watching that you could recommend others go out and watch. And Ryan, I'll start with you. Something that you are watching right now that you could recommend others go watch.
Oh, boy. I'm watching, you know what I'm watching right now? I'm watching Avatar The Last Airbender again. It was kind of big for me when I was younger, but now that it's been re-released on Netflix, I'm working my way through season one, and that's a really delightful show.
Awesome. Clarence Brown, what say ye?
Yes, I'm a huge Black Mirror fan, and Black Mirror, the last season only had about 3 episodes, and that was probably a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. So if you're into the Black Mirror-esque type shows, I think Twilight Zone is something pretty close, you know. So I would say if you're into those type, check out Twilight Zone, which is on CBS All Access. That's freaking awesome. The latest season was great. And also, I found a jewel on HBO Max that I had no idea existed, but it's very much in that same quirky anthology type, not really sci-fi, but sci-fi-esque type series, and that's Room 104. I guess that one is more fantasy than stuff. Anyway, check out Room 104. It's on HBO Max, and I've seen just a few episodes, so I know it from about 3 episodes, but I enjoyed each of those. Check that out, Twilight Zone. And if all you have is Amazon, check out a series called Electric Dreams, which is sort of the same thing. It's that Black Mirror-esque type take on life, society, and all things.
Cool, cool. Well, I'm looking for something else to watch because I've gotten through everything that I was watching, or I've gotten caught up and et cetera and so forth. So I've written those down. But for me, Clarence, this is your fault. I saw you mention the other day talking about Harley Quinn, the animated series that is also on HBO Max. It's not only on DC Universe, it's also on HBO Max. And I've watched about the first 7 episodes of the first season. And let me just say, don't let your kids watch it because it's not for kids.
Definitely not. But
I really enjoyed it. It was very, I think you said it had heart, and I agree with that.
It is genuinely funny.
Yes. It's not a joke for a joke's sake.
Yeah. And it pokes fun. I mean, I haven't seen the whole first season, so I need to get back around to watching it, but I think it pokes fun at itself in the way Star Trek Lower Decks should. if you're watching that show, it pokes fun at itself in a good way, I think, and at the characters in that universe in a good way. So I enjoy all that. And plus, I think what they do with Ivy made me really like Poison Ivy, which is a character I've never really cared about. But they make her relatable in that show. So.
Yes, I agree. And whoever divorces Ivy, they pick the perfect person, you know. And honestly, this has made me like Clayface, and I've never cared for. It's made me even like Dr. Psycho.
Wow,
you know, for even the, make me dislike liking or liking to dislike or whatever the approach. In other words, for everyone listening, go out and check out Harley Quinn. Just don't let your children go out and check Harley Quinn. That being said, gentlemen, thank you as always. And with that, we will be back next time.
You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.